Now back to Heatwave Sports with Tim Unglesby.
Final hour here on Heatwave Sports. Super Sunday night, back at it next weekend. Tournament selection Sunday coming up. That's going to be a big show next weekend. Chris, you'll be back with us
Yes. As
we break down the field of 68. So stay tuned for that. We'll talk some hockey now. Golden Knights in action tonight up in Calgary, where they were victorious, Chris, 5-2-3, knocking off the Flames and getting a win here. They're playing the Canadian Tour right now.
Tough place to win, too, up there in the Saddle Dome in Calgary. Very one of the more rough spots in the NHL to get a W. So that was pretty impressive. They were able to go up there and do that.
Yeah, and they've had success against Calgary this year. So mm-hmm. They're going to go back-to-back. They're in Edmonton tomorrow. A slight underdog if you're looking at maybe playing some money on the game. Mm-hmm. But the big story is I use the term percolating here in Las Vegas.
Exactly. It's a great
brewing.
Way to describe it, too.
It's brewing, man.
It is.
And every game that Robin Leonard wins, mm-hmm. it gets... You know, it starts to bubble up a little bit. So let's go back, and I know you've had a couple discussions on Twitter with people about it.
Debates.
Yeah,
on this issue.
So Marc-Andre Fleury is the starting goaltender mm-hmm. for the Vegas Golden Knights. He's been the face of the franchise now for three seasons.
Yes.
Robin Leonard was picked up at the trade deadline. Unbelievable pickup. The guy is a starting goaltender in the NHL.
Yes.
Just not right now. And,
yes.
and whatever he went through in.
In Chicago.
But look,
Robin Leonard, let's be clear also, it's not like he's just been with the Blackhawks his entire career. And
right.
it's not like he's a 22 or 23-year-old young goaltender.
Correct.
Okay? He's someone who is in his prime. But
yeah.
but continue.
He's 28. He's ready to go. And two
right.
years ago, he was one of the top goaltenders in the league, right? He's in the running for the Vezina. So the way I look at this, and now he's 3-0 as a Knight. Fleury lost his last start, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's lost two of his last three, actually. Talk about what's happening here, and is this just okay? And I'm not disrespecting Vegas fans, okay? But we all know that for the majority of the fans here of the Golden Knights, they're learning to be fans of the
exactly.
National Hockey League. They're not hardcores like you and
mm-hmm.
I are. You and I agree. There's no discussion here. Marc-Andre Fleury is number one. There's no 1A and 1B. I heard. What's the female's name that covers the team on the television side? She's from Vegas.
Stormy Montani.
Right.
Yeah.
I generally like what she does.
Yes. I think she's very good, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I think she's better than the female they had here previously, which everybody was
I
up,
think they're both good.
Arms,
I wouldn't
right?
you know, make, necessarily have to compare
right.
them. But
and she's doing
good.
A fine job in Anaheim. So
right.
it worked out. But I heard her on a show talk about 1A and 1B. I disagree.
And it's not.
I disagree.
This
right?
is the NHL.
There's one.
Not. Yeah.
And that's Marc-Andre Fleury, correct?
That is what... The crux of this debate to me has been, because you want to talk about going back, when the deal was made and we found out that Robin Leonard was going to be a goaltender here in Vegas, there was optimism, and rightfully so, from a lot of Vegas Golden Knight fans, because the thought is that you're upgrading the position, right? And,
right.
And what I mean by upgrading is that you're bringing in a better goaltender than Malcolm Subban. But that was not the impression, I think, that a lot of Vegas Golden Knight fans had. The impression was that we're bringing in a guy that, in their opinion, was already better than Marc-Andre Fleury. And that was that, and that now we have here in Vegas two starting goaltenders. And while, you know, in theory, I guess you could make that case. The fact of the matter was, the Vegas Golden Knights organization came out when the deal was made and when the question was posed as to whether or not Marc-Andre Fleury was the number one goaltender here in Vegas. And it was made very clear that Marc-Andre Fleury was the number one goaltender. And throughout NHL history, okay, you know, and let's be honest, throughout sports history as it goes, there's always that analogy, there's always that comment made that if you have two guys, then if you have two guys or more than two guys that are doing one thing and that are considered the main guy, then you have nobody, right? And so that's kind of the viewpoint that I take. And while, yes, Robin Leonard is a skilled goaltender. You brought up the Vezina Trophy. I didn't know. I don't understand how Robin would even be in the consideration. You look at Robin's stats throughout his career. He's never been someone who is, in my opinion, been a top-tier goaltender. He's not established himself, whether I believe he was in Buffalo. He was in four other spots, as well as Chicago. He never really was the guy where, you know, a franchise. I think he was in Ottawa, too, also. Was he not in Ottawa? The Senators.
Ottawa, yep.
He's in a lot of spots around the NHL, and nobody was saying, you know, if from my impression of following hockey for, you know, basically over four decades now, he was not somebody I looked at and said, oh, yeah, this is one of the top-tier goalies in the NHL. But I digress. You know, there was a ton of optimism when he came here. And for two games, you know, or for now for three games, he's been solid. He's been really good. And he's, you know, and he's got a shutout mixed in with that. And he's played well. My point was this, is that even when the decision to bring him here came about, it was determined that Marc-Andre Fleury was number one, Robin Leonard was going to be number two. There was no controversy at that point. And so while there was a lot of speculation as to, well, if this happened, if Marc-Andre Fleury was to just play awful, right, and just start turning into a sieve and giving up goal after goal after goal and basically just soiling his entire, you know, later part of his career here with the Vegas Golden Knights, that, yes, then obviously the Golden Knights are going to make the right decision as far as, you know, one guy is playing well and the other guy is playing horrendous, then they're going to make the switch. And guess what? Robin's going to end up being the number one goalie, and Marc-Andre Fleury is going to end up on the bench. But the fact of the matter is, that's not the dynamic right now with this team. That's not where they're at. I don't think that's where Peter DeBoer is as a head coach of this team. Right now, it is still Marc-Andre Fleury. Now, look, we are down to, I believe, a dozen games left in the regular season. Does it give Robin Leonard enough time, do you think, to surpass Marc-Andre Fleury? Like, the situation is going to be this, right, Tim? It's going to be Marc-Andre Fleury playing the lion's share of the rest of the games this season going into the playoffs. So you're going to figure Robin maybe gets, what, three, maybe four starts the rest of the season? And I think that's highballing it, by the way. Is that enough time on the ice between the pipes where we're going to say, oh, yeah, clear cut, done deal. Robin should be replace Marc-Andre Fleury as the number one goaltender? And I say no. I don't think that is the possibility, because I just don't think he's going to have that opportunity. Not because Robin's not a great not a solid goaltender. Not because he can play well. Not because he could. I mean, I suppose for the next three or four games, he could end up pitching two or three shutouts in those games, and get Vegas Golden Knights fans fired up. But are we expecting Marc-Andre Fleury to just drop off the shelf? Are we expecting Flower to just end up going out there and laying egg after egg down the stretch of the season? And then the Golden Knights are, you know, battling. By the way, the Golden Knights are battling for playoff position right now, because you've got a number of teams that are within 4 or 5 points of each other. And so it's going to be imperative that not just the goaltending, but the entire team plays well down the stretch here to get into prime playoff position. So I guess what I'm, in a roundabout way, what I'm trying to say in long form here is I just don't anticipate Marc-Andre Fleury is just going to be terrible to a point where they're going to make a organizational decision, right, Tim, to say, you know what, we're putting, which Marc-Andre Fleury is, for all intents and purposes, Tim, he is a cornerstone and I hate to use the word legend, but he is. When it comes to Vegas Golden Knights hockey, to put that guy on the bench to start the playoffs, and then you're going to go roll with Robin Leonard, who, you know, it doesn't have any playoff, you know, success past in his history. He's not someone who's, you know, taken a team deep into the Stanley Cup playoffs and even come close to winning a Stanley Cup. So there's no reason to believe that that's something that's going to transpire this season with him. And we've seen a short sample size with Robin. I just don't see that happening. Now, and we both agree, when you go to the NHL playoffs, you're not going to be, and I've used this word on social media, you're not going to be shuffling goaltenders, okay? You're not going to have Marc-Andre Fleury starting game one and game two, and then Robin Leonard starting game three and four, because you know what, Robin's just as good of a goaltender now as Marc-Andre Fleury is, or he's a better goaltender than Marc-Andre Fleury is now, so we're gonna have, you know, rotating goaltenders in the playoffs. It's not going to happen. NHL teams haven't done that for decades. It hasn't happened. Don't bring up the Washington Capitals, you know, from their Stanley Cup run, because that's not what happened there. It was a situation where Grubb got basically sat down, and Holtby ended up coming back in the playoffs, and they made the run to a Stanley Cup championship. NHL teams that are successful in the playoffs don't rotate goaltenders. And that's not what's going to happen with the Vegas Golden Knights. If it does, it'll be unprecedented. And I if it ends up being successful, I guess we'd have to all hail Peter DeBoer and the coaching staff there. But I don't anticipate that's what's going to happen. So you're going to have a guy who's the number one, and then you're going to have the guy who's the backup. And I guess there is just semantics as far as how you want to describe those guys as to what they are. Because, Tim, we've seen it. Yes, there are plenty of guys who are backups on teams that can be starting goaltenders in the NHL. There's no question about that. But you also have to have a kind of a framework of your team and established. And let not just the guys who are between the pipes know, but let your teammates know and the guys who are playing for, if you're coaches, that you are confident in an individual and confident in the pecking order, particularly when you're talking about goaltenders come playoff time. So it's not something you want to have any type of controversy with once the puck drops come Stanley Cup playoff time. And I don't anticipate with Vegas that's exactly what's going to happen. I think it's going to be a situation where we're going to know what happens. And hey, if in some way Robin Leonard can turn into, you know, someone like a Dominic Hasek, where he's pitching shutouts every time he goes out there, and the Golden Knights say, hey, he's just a better option for us now as we go into the playoffs, then he'll be the number one goaltender. And Marc-Andre Fleury will be on the bench. It just seems weird, though, doesn't it, Tim, that you're going to have a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury riding the pine once game one of the NHL playoffs starts with the Vegas Golden Knights because a goaltender ends up having let's highball. Let's say like a 6-1 record for Robin Leonard while he's here with the Vegas Golden Knights, and you're going to say, oh yeah, that's our guy, and we're going to put the Hall of Famer on the bench, and that's how we're going to move forward in the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. I just don't see it.
So Robin Leonard last season had his best season as an NHL goaltender.
Okay.
25-13-5 with a goals against of 2-1-3.
With the Blackhawks?
No, with the Islanders.
Actually. Oh, with the Islanders. Yeah. Okay.
He signed a 1-year deal with the Blackhawks for $1.4 million. Mm-hmm. He played the majority of the first half of the season and then ran into some issues. I think he was banged
Crawford's
up
now the goal. Crawford
right.
Basically so, took that spot.
Yeah. And, you know, he was. Yeah, he was going. He was decent. He was 16-10 this year. So, and yeah, with the Islanders, he was a finalist for the Vezina.
Okay, actually. He was a finalist. Yeah. Okay, well, look, that's my not being aware of him because I just didn't understand his statistics with the Islanders.
No, he had a great season.
Yeah.
So my question is, he's an unrestricted free agent after this season. I don't know if a lot of people know that here in Vegas. So was this done as, hey, he's better than Subban? We got a solid backup. Yeah. Or was this also a case of, let's see how this goes. You know, Fleury makes $7 million next year. I don't see, and Leonard's going to get paid. He's not going to be making $1.4 million. He's going to get paid somewhere. So it's either here or somewhere else. Yeah. So he may not even be here after the year. They're not going to sign both of them.
Well, here's the deal, though, Tim, on this. I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm not a Vegas Golden Knights fan. I've been able to, you know, obviously cover the team here in town. I think best case scenario in this deal, Vegas Golden Knights make a magical run here. They win the Stanley Cup. What does that do for this frame of mind of a Marc-Andre Fleury? Possibly he could retire, right? Possibly he could be done. And so this opens up an opportunity for the Vegas Golden Knights to move on to the next chapter. And the next chapter could very well be Robin Leonard, right? It could be him as a starting goaltender. And so, also something that could transpire here. They make a deep run in the playoffs, possibly lose maybe in the Western Conference Finals or something along those lines, or lose in the Stanley Cup Finals. And we're going to see, it's not like we're living in a vacuum here. We're going to see what Marc-Andre Fleury brings to the table in this playoffs, right? We're going to see what he has left in the tank. We're going to be able to make observations as to what Marc-Andre Fleury, his possible projection could be future-wise as a goaltender in this league. And maybe the determination is made that, you know what, Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, as great as you've been your entire career, you are headed to the Hall of Fame, you are a, you know, one of the best goaltenders of all time, no question. Your legacy is secure, but we are at a point where we're ready to move on from Marc-Andre Fleury. And you've been the face of the franchise for this team, but we are going to go in a different direction, and Robin Leonard is going to be that different direction, and then let the numbers fall where they may as far as, you know, how much he ends up, because you say he's a free agent, so we look, that's something that can be worked out later as far as compensation for him, what he's going to get as far as a deal. But the Vegas Golden Knights could very well have an idea in the back of their head that, yes, this is our guy moving forward. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't think there's nowhere near a definite thing that Marc-Andre Fleury is the goaltender in 2020-21 for this Vegas Golden Knights team, especially if, you know, obviously he can make a decision on his own whether or not he wants to come back, whether or not, you know, he wants to come back to Vegas, right? I mean, the Golden Knights, I guess, would be in a tough spot if they say they don't perform well in the playoffs and Marc-Andre Fleury happens to be one of those big reasons why they don't in the playoffs. So there's a lot of speculation going on here, but on my part, but I just personally, I don't see a situation where he's not the guy here this season. Now, all bets are off once the season is over, regardless of results, whether they lose early in the first round, whether they make a run, wherever they lose in the playoffs, then things change, because then you're looking ahead to the next year, you're looking ahead to the future. And the Golden Knights might say, hey, we want to go a different direction, or we believe that, you know, their motto has been all along, right, is we there's no one person that's bigger than this franchise. We know, you know, whether it's James Neal, whether it's Gerard Gallant, whether it's, you know, whether it's you name the player, they will jettison you if it can make the franchise better, or if it gives them a better opportunity to win the Stanley Cup, which is the ultimate goal, and you expect that from any franchise in the NHL. But I just find it very hard to believe that Marc-Andre Fleury would be somebody that is not going to be the A number one priority at the goaltending position here this season. But then once we get to the offseason and George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon and the powers that be start assessing this team and what they need to do going forward, I can absolutely see Marc-Andre Fleury be on the outside looking in, and possibly someone like Robin Leonard, or if there is another goaltending option out there that they think is better for the organization, they could go down that road too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, you're right. Storybook ending would be to win this cup and retire. But
wouldn't that be just an ideal thing though? You're mm-hmm. it'd be John Elway-esque, wouldn't it, Tim? Peyton Manning-esque, where, you know, it's one of those deals where it's an organization that. And by the way, can we understand, people? We're not even 3 years in to this organization, and we're talking about bouncing coaches out. We're talking about, you know, expectations to win the Stanley Cup and make deep runs. 3 years, not even 3 years, this organization has been here, and the expectations are through the roof. It is for people like Tim Uglesby, who's a Washington Capitals guy, for people like Chris Wynn, who is a Detroit Red Wings guy, for people like us who have seen teams wallow in just mediocrity or sub-mediocrity and be terrible for year upon year upon year, and then get great and be great teams, and mm-hmm. then, you know, and make Stanley Cup runs and win Stanley Cups, and you see your favorite players hoisting the cup. 3 years. Not even 3 years, Vegas. And the expectations are just astronomical for the team here. And we use the phrase all the time, right? Victims of their own success, because the storybook season in year one, where you got a first-year franchise going to the Stanley Cup Finals, which is unheard of. It's unheard of. It's crazy. And it happened. And, you know, it was done with a bunch of guys brought together in 1 year, you know, whether they're vets, whether they're rookies, whether they're, you know, a coach that was jettisoned from, you know, the Florida Panthers and in very unjust style. And he comes here, and it was a nice mix with George McPhee and even Kelly McCrimmon, and those guys just pulled all the right strings, right? They hit all the right buttons, and the team goes to the Stanley Cup Finals. And the next year, they get hosed in the playoffs, so they could have gone another round deeper in the playoffs, and who knows what would happen if the Golden Knights wouldn't have got completely just harpooned in that series against the Sharks. Who knows what happened with the Golden Knights? They might have gone even deeper in year two. And now in year three, you run into some adversity during the season, right? You have some losing streaks. You have some fans, as well as people that cover the team, that were, you know, just tossing out question marks and saying, well, what about this? What about this? You know, they're not in the playoffs right now. Can they ever get back to a point where they should be? Questions about the locker room. And then, of course, it ends up with Gerard Gallant getting, you know, bounced out of town in, you know, scarily familiar circumstances, like what happened in Florida with the Panthers, where the guy's on the road basically in a hotel room and he's finding out that he's lost a job. And so you have that take place. You bring in the you can't make this stuff up. You bring in the coach from the hated rival. And I think we can all establish that. The San Jose Sharks are the rival, right? It's not going to end up being the Kings. It's not going to be the Arizona Coyotes. It's not going to be the Anaheim Ducks. The San Jose Sharks are going to be the hated rival of the Vegas Golden Knights. You bring the coach that got fired from that franchise, and we talked about this already, how crazy that is, because I don't think I've ever seen it in sports, where you bring in a coach that from a hated rival, and you hire that guy to come to a team and actually coach that team. So you bring in DeBoer, and a little bit rocky out of the gate, but he's been spectacular. The record's been spectacular since the guy took over, basically, overall. And it looks like a genius hire, right? So I've had people on, because I thought it was ridiculous the way the whole thing was handled with Gallant and DeBoer. I don't want to get into all that. But there's been people that have already been coming on social media and doing the I told you so. You know, there's people like, you know, Vegas Golden Knights fans coming up. Oh, what a great hire by McPhee and by Kelly McCrimmon, bringing in Peter DeBoer. Just talk about pulling the trigger at the right time and having this guy here. Yeah. It's working out perfectly. You know, what happens? Let me pose this question, Tim. What happens if they make the play when they make the playoffs? And if they lose in the first or second round, then what are people saying about Peter DeBoer being hired?
Oh, he's a bum.
Well, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Because we know the fans here in Vegas. Yeah. You know how things are going to be. It's going to be, we had expectations. We're supposed to at least make the West Finals, right? We're supposed to be, we should even be a Stanley Cup Finals team, even if we lose in the Stanley Cup Finals. My point being is that it's the elevated expectations, right? It's the victims of their own success. And it's now a constant thing. Now it's a constant thing in Vegas when it comes to this Golden Knights team. And it's a blessing, and it's also a hindrance, in my opinion. It's a blessing because it shows you the passion of the fans here in Vegas when it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights, because this is it's the first ever franchise in this town, so it's going to forever be that main cog, that first ever established Major League franchise. But it's a hindrance because it's almost like if you don't win a Stanley Cup, you're not going to live up to expectations, which sounds insane to those of us who are Capitals, Red Wings, Blackhawks, Islanders, Rangers, Kings, you name the team fans, because it's unbelievable. It's like we look at this fan base, I look at the fans, and I say, really? Are you kidding me? Like, you've been around, not the kids that were born the year that this franchise came about are not 3 years, the franchise came into the league and played, are not yet 3 years old. Okay? The kids are still toddlers, basically. They're still young kids. And this franchise is just a fledgling franchise for all intents and purposes. And still, the expectations are just through the roof. They're just astronomical. And it's kind of crazy.
So I
think about it.
I misspoke. Mm-hmm. Leonard signed a 1 year, $5 million deal with the Blackhawks.
Okay.
Because the negotiations broke down with the Islanders.
So that's a clear indication that he was the Blackhawks guy. He was going to be the number one goaltender.
Right. Whatever happened. Vegas is on the hook for 1-4, which is left. Which tells me that he's going to get at least $5 million in the offseason.
Well, there's no question,
market
right,
value,
that he's
right.
going to end up being a starting goaltender next year,
right.
regardless. But that doesn't change the dynamic of what took place here in Vegas.
No.
You know what I'm saying, Tim?
Yeah.
It's not like when he was it a trade here or did he sign here? He was traded, right?
Who's that?
Robin was traded here.
He was traded here, correct.
From Chicago.
Right.
It's not like when he was traded here, everybody said, you know what? Oh, Marc-Andre Fleury, you're not the starting goaltender anymore.
Right.
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 It was looked at as, you know what, you're an upgrade. And I pointed that out left and right. You say what you want about Malcolm Subban. He was a backup, okay?
Yes.
You're bringing in Robin Leonard. He is an upgrade to your backup. He's not. You didn't bring him in here and said, you know what, we don't know who our starting goaltender is. It could be you or Flower,
right.
okay? No, that wasn't the mindset, and that's not what's been presented. Now, there's been a situation where the Golden Knights haven't been exactly straightforward as far as mm-hmm. how they do things and what the I don't want to say opinions, but what the perspective is from their standpoint. But it was pretty clear when this happened. It was pretty clear that he was the number two guy. He's not the number one guy. So that contradicts what a lot of the fans and a lot of people on social media are saying. Well, you know, they're bringing him here. That says more about Marc-Andre Fleury than it does about Malcolm Subban. No, it doesn't. Not in my opinion. It says that they want an upgrade on Malcolm Subban, and the phrase has been used a lot, right, Tim, with Robin Leonard this year, insurance policy, right? Because, you know, heaven forbid, and obviously you're not going to plan on injuries or other circumstances taking place, but if Marc-Andre Fleury couldn't play, or if Marc-Andre Fleury was just god-awful, or if Marc-Andre Fleury was, you know, in some type of way not able to be that guy, you have this guy who can step in and be and end up being the number one goaltender. So, yes, it's for all intents and purposes, you're improving that position, all right? And it's something that every NHL team wants to do. Every NHL team, Tim, would love to have two guys that you would be comfortable starting up NHL playoff series with, right? And the Vegas Golden Knights just happen to be one of those rare teams. That's not the case with a lot of NHL teams. A lot of NHL teams, they don't. They have a clear backup. They have somebody who's been a perennial backup or somebody that's too young where they haven't established themselves yet as a number one NHL goaltender. Not necessarily the case with Vegas, obviously, with both Leonard and Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, and regardless of what happens the rest of the year out mm-hmm. in the postseason, I look at this as they're not paying. So even at market value, he's worth $5 million a year. Let's just put it that way. They're not paying $12 million for two goaltenders next year. One of them is gone. That's the
true.
Bottom line. One of them
is
going to be
true.
Gone, yeah.
And so I think this is going to be a referendum, Tim, on Marc-Andre Fleury. What happens in the playoffs?
Right.
And we're all going to be able to make observations. We'll know. If they're successful in the playoffs, why are they successful? Is it because of Marc-Andre Fleury and the rest of the team? Or why, if they're not successful, is it because Marc-Andre Fleury is just not good and the rest of the team's not good? We'll make observations. We'll be able to see what happens before our eyes. And I think we'll be able to make a determination as to whether or not Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be expendable at the end of this season.
Chris Wynn, Tim Unglesby, Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio. When we come back, we'll wrap things up with a little NBA talk. The Lakers join the Raptors and the Bucks as officially into the postseason party.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a look at what's going to happen here. We got about 20 games left in the regular season and how these teams will maneuver amongst the seeding of the Eastern and Western Conference. It's Heatwave Sports on a Sunday night, Fox Sports Radio.
I think they're kind of weird and It's just strange. Grown men wearing jerseys with another man's name on it. Like, are you in jail? Are you his bitch? It's just...
Right. Kind of like that one?
That's different because it's in a frame.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports. Here's Tom Barton and Tim Unglesby.
And Chris Wynn tonight.
Sports yes, sir.
Radio personality. I stole that from our buddy. Radio personality.
It's an apropos description. Well, what I've done, but
you're all over though. I mean, you're on.
I've had an opportunity.
Ken Thompson's show, our good buddy Ken Thompson. I love him. You're on his show a lot.
Worked on tons of shows here at Lotus Broadcasting, Cofield and Company to the press box with Ed and Clay and those guys, and a ton of shows here on Fox with guys like Seat Williams and Dave Koken and you across the board. So it's been a lot of fun. But almost 10 years now in Vegas, Tim. On the radio airwaves, and it's been fun every spot I've got to be at. So,
let me ask you this: so you did TV in Orlando?
I did. Yes.
You do radio as well?
I did not. Okay. In Orlando,
your TV guy.
My radio started back in college. I don't want to get into this whole Chris Wynn bio thing, but radio started. I worked in news radio for a small Boston radio station when I was in college at Framingham State, and so my whole existence and beginning in the media was working in the radio. I actually wrote scripts for a news guy who was, basically the local newscaster in the Boston area and at a news station there, and moved on to working for a guy named Mike Adams, who was a sportscaster in the Boston area. Very, a very strange character, let's put it that way. And Mike Adams, who's a sportscaster. And this is back in the 90s when you really, obviously we love our sportscasters here in Vegas, whether it's Chris Matthews and Kevin Bollinger and all those guys here. But back then, and it's no disrespect to the guy, and Brian Salmon, it's no disrespect to the people now, but it was much bigger, I think, back in the 90s because there just weren't as many outlets, right? You didn't have all of the different Fox Sports channels and all the ESPN channels. So people actually tuned in for the sportscasts at 6 o'clock every night and 11 o'clock every night. Yep. So that sportscaster was the guy that you grew up on. You remember that guy, Tim, right? Remember the guy that you used to see on the news every night? And so that was a great experience for me to get a chance to work in TV in the Boston area because you had some iconic sportscasters back in that area. And that's where I ended up going down to Florida and working at a station down there for a few years. And Orlando is a lot like Vegas as far as from a sports standpoint because at that time, it was just the Orlando Magic, but you had a lot of other stuff going on, like Vegas does, where you have celebrity golf tournaments, you have, all these other they're sporting events, but they're kind of niche things, and that was cool about Orlando working there, and then of course coming out here to Vegas has always been great because of the base with the UNLV programs, both the football and the basketball program, and of course all the boxing events and all the MMA sporting events as well. And of course, leading into what we've been able to be a part of the last, 3 or 4 years with the Vegas Golden Knights. And now what's going to happen with the Las Vegas Raiders being in town and getting a chance to cover them. So it's kind of a full circle thing. And I'm very glad it ended up here in Las Vegas.
It's funny you brought up the Vegas TV broadcast or news guys, yes. Sports guys. For me, it was, and you'll know him, Dave McCann.
Yes.
And this one you've actually worked with on radio, Ron Futrell.
I have, Ron Futrell. And what's great, too, is Ron Futrell is always running old clips from before I even got here, right? He'll run clips from, like, the early 90s where, as I pointed out, I talked about the Boston guys, the TV sports guys, they were superstars, right? I mean, they're people that you looked at, you said, you know what? I'm going to get my sports news. This was back in the fledgling days of ESPN Sports Center and Fox, Fox Radio broadcast or Fox TV broadcast and Fox Sports Radio, and it was the heyday of sports radio, by the way, too, where sports radio was you consider a lot of these people legends, but Ron Futrell, he was that guy in Vegas, right? He was the guy that was at every big boxing match. He was the guy that was at every big UNLV running Rebels. Yep. He covered those great Rebel teams in the early 90s and in the 80s too as well. And it's always fun to see those clips of Ron from back in the day because we still see him here in town. Obviously, he still works for a station here in town, and he's out and about covering events. We get a chance to see him, and I always love ribbing him about those old videos and the old ties and the old outfits that he used to sport back circa 1991, 1992, with when he's covering the likes of Stacey Augmon and Anderson Hunt and Larry Johnson and any of the big boxing names that would come to town here in Vegas, where they would cover those sporting events as well too. So, yes, but Ron, definitely one of those guys that you would think of back in the 90s.
So you came to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
How did you end up on the airwaves here? Was it just by chance?
It's actually a funny story. It's a short one. I ended up filling in with a guy named Pat Cassell, who on the air, he was Carmine. He was had okay. a sports show. And he was Carmine along with Jimmy Tuma. Now, Jimmy used to be one of the hosts here on Fox Sports Radio. And obviously here at Lotus, there's been a lot of changes over the past 10 to 12 years as far as stations, where you're at on the dial, what side, either ESPN or Fox Sports Radio or NBC Sports. And so I end up getting on with Pat, and any time that he wasn't able to do a show, I would cover for him, and I'd be on with Jimmy. Long story short, they made the transition over here when the new building opened up here at Lotus, and I ended up hosting a show with them. And anytime Jimmy couldn't do the show, I'd jump in for Jimmy. Anytime Carmine couldn't do the show, I'd jump on with Carmine. And then a number of other hosts would come in, and I ended up befriending a lot of people that were here, whether it was Steve Cofield, whether it was Mitch Moss, whether it was you go down the line from Ed Graney to anybody that's been on the airwaves here at Lotus, to Seat Williams. And it was an opportunity for me as someone who was brand new to the market and had a lot of flexibility schedule-wise, where I could jump on the air and basically be a radio bandit and just jump on whenever. It was a great opportunity here at Lotus. And so whether those shows when people went on vacation, when people ended up being sick, it was an opportunity for me to just jump on and get a chance to host those shows. And I was pretty versatile, still am pretty versatile when it comes to my sports knowledge and being able to kind of weave in and out with certain personalities, whether it be, someone like an Adam Hill, or whether it be someone like an Ed Graney or Clay Baker or a Tim Wigglesby or a Tommy Barden or a Seat Williams or a Paulie Howard. And so that it was something that was beneficial to me, and that's basically how I ended up getting in over here. And it's just something that kind of took off for me and ended up extending a lot longer than I thought it would be. Thought it'd be something I'd be on the air for a couple of years and, maybe just make make a little bit of a dent. But we're basically now on 10 years plus where I've been able to be on the airwaves here in Vegas. And it's been a great pleasure to be able to do that. And yeah. and that's how I got an opportunity also to work with you, too. It's been great. And we've been doing shows together for what, 3, 4, 5 years now?
I think it's close to five now.
Yeah, actually, 5 years. So time flies when you're having fun, and that's exactly what we're doing here.
But what about the Lakers? They're having fun right now.
They
are. 49-13, top seed in the West. Knocked off their brethren there in L.A. in the Clip show. Look, it's going to be an interesting playoffs in the NBA. It's really the West is deep. When you're looking at Dallas or Houston potentially being in a slotted seeded, I'm excited for it. I just, when I look at the Lakers, and DeMont said it during the update, first time with a full roster playing, I just don't know if they're ready to bear the playoffs the way it is. The regular season is one thing. The postseason is a completely different situation.
Well, LeBron James cleared out a pretty historic weekend, right, Tim? I mean, he ends up out-dueling Giannis and the Bucks in a matchup of the two top teams in each conference. And then he keeps the Lakers rolling with a win over the Clippers today, where he goes for 28-7-9 in that 112-103 victory today. We all understand what LeBron James is. He is an NBA, all-time NBA great. This discussion about him being a top-five player of all time is valid, no question. But there's also a situation where you've got just a changing dynamic in the Western Conference this year because of what has happened in Golden State with the injuries and because of player movement. And now you have Anthony Davis in L.A. with the Lakers. We obviously know what's happened with the Clippers with the addition of two great players and a solid supporting cast. People want to talk about other teams, right, in the West, Tim? They want to talk about the likes of the Denver Nuggets. They want to talk about the likes of the Houston Rockets, even though the Rockets kind of going through some turmoil right now. I think at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, it's going to end up being Los Angeles. That's going to be the epicenter when it comes to the Western Conference playoffs. I just think that this Laker team, you mentioned, you know, they've been dealing with certain things, and obviously we all understand the loss of a legend like Kobe Bryant and the impact that that's had on the psyche of this franchise, not just the team, the franchise, and the fan base. And you have them matched up with the Los Angeles Clippers, who, you know, you've got Paul George, it goes for 31 today. You've got Kawhi Leonard, obviously, great, great player. Montrezl Harrell ends up with 20 for the Clippers. And they lost to the Lakers for the first time in three games this season. This is the matchup that's going to intrigue a lot of NBA fans. And it's not just, obviously it has nothing to do with the East because they're two Western Conference teams. But I think the storyline is going to be this. It's going to be, can the Rockets manage to play some defense and be a factor come playoff time? Because we know offensively they got the goods. Offensively, the Rockets are going to be an exciting team to watch. They're going to score points, but we just don't know if they can. You know, they don't have that big guy anymore in the middle. So they're going to be a small ball type of team, and we don't know how that plays out in the playoffs. And also, people are going to wonder, okay, this Nugget team has a good record. All right, they have some nice players, obviously, in Jokic and Murray and some other pieces. But come playoff time, do you trust them? Do you trust the Nuggets to knock off the likes of LeBron and Davis and the Lakers or Kawhi and Paul George and the Clippers? You know, do you think they make a dent in those teams? No, I just don't see it. I don't see the Rockets. I don't see a team like the Nuggets. I just don't see other Western Conference teams being up on that level. And so you've also got the storyline where can LeBron do it? Can he be the guy that takes three teams to an NBA championship, right? And a lot of the haters of LeBron James or people that just they want to be an asterisk guy with LeBron James, which I'm not afraid to do every once in a while because I'm a Pistons fan. And so, you know, I'm one of those guys that respects LeBron but don't like him as a player. I mean, I don't worship him as a player, but I think I absolutely respect him, much like Michael Jordan. But they're going to say, oh, you know, he went to, you know, the guy didn't win anything until he went to Miami, where he joined up with two superstars and then won championships there. He didn't win until he went back to Cleveland and he got, you know, obviously he got a star point guard to play along with him. And, oh, a pretty good forward, by the way, and Kevin Love. And they were able to win a championship because Draymond Green got suspended for the Golden State Warriors. And so they won a title in Cleveland there. All right. So he won a championship there. And then now what's going to be the excuse when he comes to the Lakers? Oh, now he's got Anthony Davis and, you know, a pretty solid supporting cast with guys like Kuzma and some other pieces there with the Lakers. And LeBron's still a great player, so if they win the championship, yeah, you can throw an asterisk up to that. So the point being, Tim, that's going to be kind of the storyline, I think, with the Lakers. If the Lakers end up being the team that represents the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. Now, if the Clippers do it, I think the frame of mind is going to be different because people just view Kawhi Leonard different than they do LeBron James. They don't have that animosity that a lot of fans do towards LeBron, towards Kawhi Leonard. They think oh, the Toronto Raptors, it was a storybook season. Kawhi Leonard, yes, he was the best player on that team, but he didn't have a bunch of all-stars around him. He just had, you know, he just had guys like Lowry and a couple other pieces and a budding superstar in the kid from New Mexico whose name is escaping me right now, who's the star there now in Toronto. You get my point, though. The people of Kawhi Leonard and they say, oh, you know, he's done it to play. He went to San Antonio, the Spurs won a championship there, and then he went to Toronto and he carried those guys on his back and won a championship that was heralded because they weren't expected to win. No one said, oh, yeah, the Raptors are the team to beat. No one said the Raptors are we're definitely going to be one of the favorites to win the title. It was all, they were almost an afterthought and were able to win it. So if he goes to the Clippers now, even though he does have Paul George, even though he does have Patrick Beverley, even though he does have these other guys that are great players, right? If the Clippers win the title, it's the Clippers. So people are going to say, oh, you know, this is a franchise that has wallowed in just been garbage their entire existence. You know, they had Loy Vaught, they had Keith Kloss, they had all these guys who were just terrible, and it's a franchise, and Danny Manning, and it was a franchise that's never done anything. And oh, now they finally have their first championship, and it's because of Kawhi Leonard, and because of the other guys too. The point being is that people think differently of a guy like Kawhi Leonard than they do LeBron James, and that's going to be fun to watch how that all pans out with this Clipper-Laker rivalry that's budding, and how and what exactly happens, and if, say, the Milwaukee Bucks end up winning the whole thing. How does that play out?
It's good for the NBA.
Yeah.
It's good to have two good teams in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Keep an eye on Denver, though. I kind of like Denver a little bit there, you know.
When you got Jokic, you know, and you've got Jamal Murray who can go out there and drop a 30 spot plus on you every single night, they're going to be dangerous. But do they go the distance, though? Can they get past the likes of those two other teams? I just don't know if I see it. And but yeah, it would be a great thing, right? Because the Nuggets have never won a championship, so
exactly,
that would be kind of cool to see. That would be like a Toronto Raptors type deal.
Give me Denver Milwaukee in the finals. How about that, man?
Oh, you know what? You might like it, Tim. I don't think the NBA would be too pumped up about that type of matchup in the NBA Finals.
Chris, always a pleasure. You'll be back with us next Sunday night for our Selection Sunday show. Let everybody know where you're at.
You can find me on social media at Christian Wynn on Twitter. You can also follow me at CWynn77 on Instagram. I'm, the Gram's the new thing, Tim.
Okay.
All the young kids. All the kids are DeMond and... all the youngsters. That's the spot to go now. Instagram. So.
Yep. Well, for Chris Wynn, for DeMond Cotton, Tommy Barton, have a great sports week. Tim Unglesby signing out. We'll talk to you Saturday night right here on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM 1340 AM. Have a great sports week. Good night.